With me just briefly from Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Actually, I will go through verse 11, but not all today. I want to divide this lesson into two parts. I didn't share this with the first service, but I'm going to share it with you. I want to tell you where I really wanted to go and where I really want to spend some quality time with you. And that is in verse number 10 when John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I want to work with the Lord's day, because there are many who are being challenged by what day do we worship. And that's why I went to this text. But after going to the text and looking at verse number 10, studying to get to verse 10, I found so much that I believe is beneficial. So from a contextual point of view, I'm actually beginning at verse number 9. And I want you to study with me from this subject, thriving in my Patmos, thriving in my Patmos. Now, Patmos was an island off of the coast of Greece where criminals were banished to. Patmos was north-south, 7.5 miles, east-west, 6 miles across. Came into existence because of a volcano, which means that it was very rocky, and at that time it was not inhabited. So for punishment, the emperors would banish criminals to this deserted island. There they would work in the rock quarries and for their punishment. Now, if you were a real serious bad criminal, you were banished for life. But if, you know, your crime was not that serious, you probably would go there temporarily, and then you would be brought back to civilization and reinstated. But it was designed for punishment. And when you would think in terms of why John was there, John the Apostle, he was there because of his obedience to the Word of God. And he was there because of the testimony or the preaching of the gospel. Because of his commitment, he was banished. He was sent to this island called Patmos. But while he was in this island, or on this island, it is where you understand that this man, who is probably in his 90s by now, has been a Christian probably about 60 years now. You ask yourself, why would he say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? In other words, he doesn't seem like a prisoner. Somehow he is expressing joy and excitement about who he is and where he is and what God is doing in his life. In other words, he's thriving on his Patmos. All of us have a Patmos where people want to punish us, where people want to isolate us, and people want us to somehow realize negative things because of our walk with God and our confession and preaching the gospel. They want your life to be miserable. And so they put you on this island. If you lose your job, maybe that's your Patmos. Maybe you have a broken marriage, and that's your Patmos. Maybe there's been death in the family. Sometimes you can lose all of your loved ones, and you feel like you're by yourself. And that can be your Patmos. My father was like that in his later years. I would visit with him, and he would say, you know, Shelton, I buried all of the men who were with me in the beginning. And all of the sisters who worked with me to build the Stop Six Church, he said, I buried them. And what he was saying to me is that I feel alone. I feel like I'm on this island all by myself. He's talking about his Patmos. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we get to a point where we feel like we're being punished. We feel like perhaps, maybe, you know, God, you have left me. You're not there with me. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Everybody experiences a Patmos sooner or later. But here's what I know about John. John had experience with his Savior. Began when he was a fisherman. He was a man who came from a good family. His mother was that type of mother who was very had great ambitions for her son and sons, because he had a brother by the name of James. They, you know, the Bible calls him James and John. In the scripture, they were called the sons of thunder. But here's what you need to know, that here is a man that when he came in contact with this man named Jesus, it made a difference in his life. And his life takes on a whole new perspective. And so 60 years later, he's banished on this island. But I'm telling you that this man is in a point, in a place where you and I need to get. And that is that in spite of what happens, in spite of the external circumstances that want to try to control our lives, there's really a greater power that allows us to thrive. And that's what I want you to see. Well, here's what I found when I looked at verse number 9, trying to get to verse number 10. He said, I, John, your brother. And I thought about, you know, why does he want them to know as he writes this revelation, because Jesus Christ gives him this revelation. John has authored the gospel. John has authored 3 epistles, and now he is authoring the revelation. And guess where he got his revelation? On Patmos. Now everybody wants to go to Patmos now because they know that this is where John got his revelation. Amen. But I'm telling you that John, as he writes this revelation that he receives from the Lord, he wants them to know that I am your brother. And so I did some research on brother, and brother has several meanings. First of all, it could mean, you know, we have the same parents. Sometimes it means we are of the same nationality, you know, the same ethnic group, you know, and all of that, I understand that too, because I have brothers. And I certainly understand when you are off somewhere and you are among people that are not necessarily the same as you, and all of a sudden you see somebody that looks like you, and you say, hey, brother, there, you know, now we understand what that means. But this is different. This is a blood brother, but a blood brother because of the blood of Christ. This is a relationship that I think that if we really understand it, if we really appreciate it, it broadens our understanding. When you get to a point where you feel like you're on your Patmos, maybe you really ought to understand that you're part of a brotherhood. And that brotherhood has to do with the fact that we are Christians and we have other Christians who are our brothers and our sisters in Christ. But here's what else I found. And that is that the relationship that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, it supersedes, it translates beyond human brother-sister relationships. To the point that if you had to say that I only have one relationship that I can really count as a brotherly relationship, I think you ought to choose the one that is in Christ. Even Jesus says to us, he said, think not that I came to bring peace, but I said I came to bring a sword. He said, I've come to put a man at variance against his father and his father against a son against his father and the father against the son, the mother against the daughter and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. He said, a man's foes will be they of his own household. He said, if you love mother or father more than me, now what he is simply saying is that if you get to the point where you have an earthly relationship, a brotherly relationship that is greater than the relationship that you have with me and among one another who are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, he said, you're not worthy of calling yourself a Christian. There comes a time when you and I need to understand that the relationship of a brother far exceeds your relationship with the ones that you grew up with. If you have to make a choice between your blood brother and the brother that's in Christ, you got to say that my relationship with my brother in Christ exceeds my relationship or supersedes my relationship with my blood brother or sister. And I mean, I know that's hard, but that's the case. And when you make that transition, here's where the blessing comes. I only had three brothers. I only had two. I said three and couldn't think of the third one. Two. But once I became a Christian, now I have brothers and sisters everywhere. And actually, the relationship between us is stronger than the relationship with my own blood brother. And that's a blessing. I'm saying brother, but I'm talking about sisters as well. You don't realize that when you get in your Patmos, you should always recognize that I know that it's more than just me. I exist in a brotherhood. And that's what John understood. John understood, I am your brother. Jesus one time was asking, said, your mother and your brethren are outside and they want to talk to you. They want an audience with you. And Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he looked at the disciples. This is found in Matthew 12, verse number 46 through 50. He said, these are my, when he saw the disciples, he said, this is my mother and this is my brethren. Well, what did Jesus just do? He said, even though this woman brought me into the world and these are my siblings, he said, the people who do what God wants done when they obey God, they are my mother, they are my brethren. If we ever get to the point that we can expand our horizon of who we are in relationship with, always know that when you get in the Patmos that you need to know your relationship. What true relationship do I have? And this relationship is universal. Universal. Not territorial. Universal. I remember one time my wife and I were traveling, and I was going to a gospel meeting, and the brethren had told me, they said, well, Brother Gibbs, when you get to the hotel, just give them your name. Well, when I got to the hotel and I gave them my name, they said, we don't have a reservation for you. Not under that name. And so the lady, she said, I don't have that. And she was of another, you know, just stay with me. So I tried the preacher's name. I said, maybe it's under the preacher's name. She said, I don't have it under the preacher's name either. So I gave her the name of the church. I said, such and such a Church of Christ. And she said, oh, Church of Christ? I'm a member of the Church of Christ. The whole relationship, the whole dynamic of the interchange changed. This woman understood that this is my brother. I'm not just somebody coming into this hotel. This is my brother. The blood of Jesus Christ makes a difference. Have you ever been traveling and you tell somebody, you know, I'm a member of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, and then all of a sudden, you know, they say, oh, I'm a member of so and so and so. I mean, it just changes the whole dynamic. Have you ever gone to the doctor and you found out your doctor is a member of the church? Have you ever gone to a lawyer and you found out your lawyer is a member of the church? Or have you found out that member of the church said, my God, I wonder about that one. He must not go very much. All I'm simply saying is that John wanted them to know, I am your brother. And I think if we ever get to the point where we can really understand true brotherhood, it means something. I can call you Jack, I can call you Bill, but if I say Brother Bill, if I say Brother Jack, I know I'm taking a long time on this first one. I know I am. But you remember, you know when we baptize individuals? Watch how we do it. We bring them back out, don't we, and introduce them all over again. Well, why are we doing that? You know why we are doing that? It's because when they went back there, they weren't our brother. But when they came out from back there, having been baptized into Christ, they have become our brother. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. God is Father of all, in all, through all. God is Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. That relationship is far beyond any relationship. You're living beneath your privilege if you ever not get involved in this brotherhood. Then again, I'm still trying my best to get to in the spirit on the Lord's day. But I got stuck right there. Then I got stuck on this one when he said, your companion in tribulation. And I started working with companion. I started working with companion. And companion means partner. It means a co-participant, a partaker. And I got to thinking about it. I say, not only do I have a relationship, a spiritual relationship, but now I got a partner. I have a co-participant. I may be where I am in my Patmos. But he, please know that I'm not here by myself. I am here because I have partners. You know, have you ever been a part of a multi-marketing? Have you noticed how that you go in partnership one with another? And once you sign up, then they start calling you all the time. Am I telling the truth? Now, they didn't call me before. And to be honest about it, they really didn't care. They don't really care about me, but they want me to be in partnership with them. You know why they want me to be in partnership with them? It's because when I'm in partnership with them, I'm able to help them as well as myself to prosper. They do everything they can to keep you in that partnership. So it's really,
Hear me well. It's really not about us. It's about what we are in partnership for. Well, how do I know that? Because once you stop producing, then they stop calling you. All those pleasantries and all that thinking, you know, all that leaves. Because you're no longer centered on what the partnership is all about. Same way when it comes to only thing we're in partnership with our blood of Christ, brother and sister. But there is a product. Hear me well, there's a product that draws us all together. We're in partnership for a reason. Please ask me, why is he banished to Patmos? For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Brother Minor, the reason that you are important to me and I am important to you is because you and I are in partnership. We're in partnership for the obedience to the word of God and for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Minor, Brother Green, amen. You know, that's why when you get in your Patmos, you ought to get in your Patmos understanding that you know, I can call on so-and-so because we're in partnership, and we're in partnership about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the obedience of God Almighty. Some folk are in a Patmos because they have sinned and because they've done wrong. Hello. I just lost you. You're in trouble because you sinned. You lied. You know you didn't tell the truth. You lied. And now you're behind the eight ball. Now bad things are happening to you. But I'm talking about folk who have bad things happening to them because they preach the gospel and they tell the truth. Folk don't want the truth. Folk don't want the gospel. But you and I find strength in partnership. Put on the screen, and I'm almost through. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 3. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 3. I just want you to follow this because it bears out what I've just said to you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Now watch this. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now Paul is in prison. Paul is in a Roman prison, which means that that's his Patmos. But listen to how he talks while in Patmos. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's talking to the brethren at Philippi. He's talking to, who did I say? The what? The brethren. He's talking to the whom? Brethren. Are you with me? Always in every what? Prayer of mine for what? You all making requests with what? Joy. I got joy. Oh, what you mean you got joy? I got joy because I may be here in this prison, but I got some partners. I got some brethren who are out there. And because we are both preaching the gospel, we're in partnership with the gospel, I'm going to preach it in here, and they're going to preach it out there. And therefore, since the gospel is being preached, I am joyous. Come on, verse 5. For your what? For your partnership in the what? From the what? Until when? Verse number 5, 6, being confident of this what? Very thing, that he, talking about God, talking about Christ, which hath what? Begun a what? Good work in you. He's not even concerned about himself. He's talking about them. I need y'all to understand, don't be worried about me while I'm here. You need to know that what God is doing with you, where you are, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God don't start nothing that God don't finish. Wait. God does not start anything that he does not finish. Have to be intelligent. Verse 7. Even as it is what? For me to think this of you all. Because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds, that's in prison, and in the defense, this is where we are. Church, this is where we are. This is what we're in partnership with. The defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And then he ends it by saying, ye all are what? Partakers of what? My grace. He is simply saying that the grace that God has extended to me, he's extended to everybody who's in partnership with the grace, with this gospel. Let me tell you something. Please listen to me well. You always want the grace of God. No, you don't want God to give you what you deserve. You want God to extend mercy and grace. And guess who gets his mercy and gets his grace? It's those who are his children. And those who are partakers of the gospel. Ask yourself, where are you? And how did you get there? Amen. Did you get in this dilemma? Amen. From the preaching of the gospel? For living a good life? Or did you get in there because you did not preach? Amen. And you did not. You want God to give you a revelation? You want God to bless you where you are? Get in companionship. Get in partnership with God. And God open up the windows of heaven. He'll pour you out a blessing that your bonds cannot receive. Well, my last point, remember this is in two parts. I will continue next Lord's Day, but I want to end where he says, in the kingdom, are you with me? He says, I am your brother. Isn't that what he says? In verse number 9, he said, I am your brother and companion in the what? Tribulation. That's for the gospel now. For the testimony of Jesus Christ and the word of God, latter part of the verse, and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about the kingdom of Christ today, and I'm going to pick up next Lord's Day with the patience of Jesus Christ, and then we're going to talk about the Lord's Day. Now, I'm just telling you where I am and where we're going, you know. But I'm so happy I could preach on it right now and just go. You know, I got to live my grandmother in me. And she came out of the hole in this church. And, man, I tell you, you know, she was, you know, just got all down off in her bones. And that's kind of the way I'm feeling right now. It's all down off in my bones. And Lord have mercy. Hold me down, Lord Jesus. Hold me down. Hold me, Lord. Oh, God is a good God. I'm trying to tell you, and I'm gonna share this with you, and then we're gonna conclude for today. He said, "In the kingdom, in is a primary preposition denoting a fixed position. Watch this. It is a primary preposition. Anytime you say in, I'm in the house. It's a preposition denoting a fixed position." Either in place, time, or state. Now, John says, I'm in. Let me read it again. Make sure I'm right. And he said, tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. All right? So, didn't say in the kingdom. Oh. I wanted that preposition in. Oh, okay. So the end is not even with patience either, is it?
Now here's what I understand. There is nobody out there that will argue about the patience of Jesus Christ, being part of the patience of Jesus Christ, but that same passage talks about the kingdom. So whatever, hear me well now, because this is where the argument comes. And I got to show you something here, is that nobody argues over the fact that you and I are participants and we're involved in the patience of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? But yet and still, there are people out there who don't want us to believe that we are already in the kingdom of the Lord. They are what you call premillennialists who tell you that Jesus, when he comes the second time, that he will set up his kingdom on earth and he will reign and rule for 1,000 years. I beg to differ. My Bible is teaching that John is already in the kingdom. Earlier, in verse number 5, watch this now. Verse number 5, I'm in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sin in his own blood, and has made our, and has what? Made us what? Kings and what? Priests to his what? God and Father. Listen, you can't be made a king if you ain't in the kingdom. Now I want to show you, because when you are in your Patmos, you need to know that I am in the kingdom, because kingdom simply means the reign and the rule of God. Now I know what Domitian, if he was the one who banished John to the Isle of Patmos, I know that. But while John is there, John, not talking about Domitian with rule. He's not talking about some man with rule. He knows that the rule of God is over his life. But God is reigning on me, reigning in my life right now. Now, I'm going to show you something. I'm digging a little deeper into the doctrinal soil, because there are a lot of people who read these commentaries and read these books. And when you read these books, there are men who are premillennialists. And they're telling you that their kingdom has yet to come. They're telling you that the kingdom is future. No, ma'am, no, sir. The kingdom is right now. Amen. Now I want to show you something. John the Baptist came in Matthew chapter 3 saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus Christ himself, when he began preaching, said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand simply meant that it's near. Kingdom of God is near. Kingdom of God is close. Oh, if I had time, I'd go all the way back to Daniel 2. Daniel said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed, which shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel, tell me what you're talking about. Well, Daniel sees 4 kingdoms. He sees, first of all, the Babylonian. Then he sees the Persian. Now he's looking at the Grecian. And then finally sees the Roman kingdom. He says, in the days of the Roman kings, God is going to set up his kingdom. Am I right about it? All the Jews were looking forward to that day in the Roman dispensation, because they knew that God was on record that he would set up his kingdom. So when John came preaching, saying, he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." They knew that the clock was right. They knew that the time was right.
And so everybody flocked to John baptism. Everybody's looking for the coming of the kingdom. Well, Jesus Christ made it known during his ministry. In Mark 9, he said, there'll be some of you that stand here which shall not taste death till you see the kingdom come with power. What are you telling me? Well, Jesus is trying to tell me that when the kingdom comes, the power is going to come. When the power comes, then the kingdom is going to come. Well, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, I remember he assembled with his apostles in Acts chapter 1, and I believe it's about verse number 3. He was assembled with his disciples and with his apostles, and he talked to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is still on their mind. Well, finally, one of them asked, will you restore at this time the kingdom to Israel? And then Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time nor the seasons. Am I right about it? But go and wait in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. After you go and wait, they waited 10 days. Am I right about it? And finally, on that Pentecost, the first day of the week, I'm going to talk about that next week. Bible said that God sent forth the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, the power came. And when the power came, the kingdom came. When the kingdom came, the church came. Am I right about it? So what I'm trying to share with you is that people are wrong to tell you that you are not part of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God has yet to be established. They didn't believe that on the day of Pentecost. They believed that the kingdom of God had been established. Help me, Brother Gibbs. I think I can. Over there in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went and preached to the Samaritans, Bible said when they believed the things preached pertaining to the kingdom of God, his name, they were baptized. So what are you doing, Philip? I'm preaching. What you're preaching, Philip? I'm preaching the kingdom of God Almighty. Well, in Acts chapter 28 and about verse number 30, I hear Paul. Paul, who has now been put in Roman custody and is in his own house serving his sentence. Bible said, but they gave him freedom. And when they gave him freedom, guess what he was doing? He was preaching the kingdom of God. Am I right about it? Help me, Brother Gibbs. Paul talked to me in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Bible said he had delivered us from the power of darkness and delivered us into the kingdom. There it is. I was looking for into the kingdom of his dear son. Am I right about it? Well, now the kingdom is here, and I know it's here. Help me, Brother Gibbs. I know the kingdom is right. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and about verse number 24 and verse number 25, Paul began to talk about when the end has come and he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. What you going to do when that end comes? He will deliver up the kingdom to God. Am I right about it? Well, now, how long will he reign? Bible said he'll reign till the last enemy has been put down and the last enemy is death. Am I right about it? So Jesus is reigning. Jesus is ruling right now until the last enemy, death, has been put down. Am I right about it? So as long as death is here, long as folk are still dying, then he's still ruling. He's still reigning. And if he's reigning and he's ruling, then that means the kingdom is still here. Am I right about it? What are you going to do? In the final consummation of time, he's going to deliver up the kingdom to God. But you see, John is out there on the Isle of Patmos, and the end of time has not come. God had not called the consummation of time. The angel hadn't stepped one foot on earth and another in the sea and declared the time shall be no more. Long as he's in the flesh, he knew that as long as I'm in the flesh, I'm still in the kingdom of Almighty God. God is ruling and God has control. Nobody, nowhere has power over me. I may be in Patmos, but I'm also in the kingdom of God Almighty. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I done sure enough got happy right along here. And I know y'all don't like it. I know y'all don't like it. But that's all right. You don't have to like it. Because I know what God has done. I know what God has done. And only, oh, Lord, have mercy. I know. I'm closing shop. Oh, I'm going to tell you. When you know you're in the kingdom. When you know you're in the kingdom, I may be in Patmos, but I'm in the kingdom. No. I may have lost my job, but I'm in the kingdom. I may have lost my relationship with my husband, but I'm in the kingdom. And God has the final say. God has the rule. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, have mercy. All I'm trying to say to you is that you and I, don't let folk bamboozle you. Talking about, the kingdom is here. No, the kingdom is right here. When Jesus built the church, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Very next verse. And I will give unto thee, talking to Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom and the church, same thing. Huh?
That's good stuff.
Now I understand that the kingdom that we have now still has other manifestations. And the ultimate manifestation is when we get to heaven. But to deny that you're in the kingdom now is to deny the truth.
That's right.
The reign of God is already here, and it already has. Sister Fagan got happy too.
That's all right.
Amen.
That's all right.
We're going to excuse you today.
That's all right.
I got happy too.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I know it. I know it. But you got happy over the right thing.
Amen.
And see, I don't mind getting happy, but get happy over the right thing.
Amen.
You know, we're not just trying to bring attention to ourselves.
Amen.
What does God say? And if God moves you, then God get the glory. Amen. Walls.
Right, right.
Amen. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about the patience. Because, see, we're in the patience. That's a fixed position. That's a fixed disposition. And I want to talk about it. And then I want to show you why you and I ought to be excited about the Lord's day. I know there are people running around talking about, we ought to be worshiping on the Sabbath. But I want you to see why the Lord's day.
Amen. Amen.
John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I want to, oh,
that's right.
I couldn't get there because it was too much good preaching before I got there. Am I right? Oh, but y'all give me one more Sunday. Please come and let me talk to you about the Lord's day. God bless you. You want this kind of assurance? Because Revelation is a revelation of assurance. I mean, it's assurance. In other words, Revelation really tells you how the Christian era is going to end. And he's telling us it's going to end in victory. The devil will go to hell. And all those who refuse to obey God are going to go to hell with him.
Yes.
But those of us who hold on to the word of God and stay with what God has said,
say it.
We will be around the throne of heaven rejoicing with him. I'm looking forward to that day, and I hope you are too. God bless you. If you want this kind of assurance, I ask you to come to Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except to come by me. You got to come to Jesus.
Yes.
When you come to Jesus, you obey him. You take him as your Lord. You take him as your Savior. And like John, for 60 plus years, dedicated himself. And at the end of those 60 years, when he's 90-something years old, he's still exuding the very power of God in his life. That God sees him worthy to receive the greatest revelation that the world has ever received. You want that kind of life? Give your life to Christ. Confess him to be the Son of God after you've repented of your sin. Go down with him in the water of grave of baptism. Baptism is Father remission of sin. When you come up, you'll be one of his children. You will then be brother or sister in this great, great company of saints. You want a family? Here's your family. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was.